Milwaukee's the Urban Ecology Center shines bright as a model of environmental education and stewardship.
It's a pretty amazing story. About a quarter century ago, the UEC began humbly in a trailer plunked right above the Milwaukee River near Riverside High School.
Executive Director Ken Leinbach is credited with building its super green flagship complex, as well as additional centers in Washington Park and the Menominee Valley.
Writer Carolyn Cott Washburn penned a story about the UEC and Ken Leinbach's role in its evolution.
Lake Effect Susan Bentz met Washburn at the UEC, where she told Susan how the story came to life.
Well, I've been a member here for 12, 13, 14 years and also a volunteer. And what I love about it is that it's gotten me back in touch with my inner naturalist, which has not surfaced since Girl Scout camp, which was a long time ago. So bird watching is a lot of fun. It's one thing I do every week. I've also taken classes, tree identification, mushrooms, invertebrates. And then there have been some overnight trips, weekend trips, and then trips out of the country to Costa Rica, for example. So it's just a lot going on, wonderful people, and an excellent mission.
So the citizen science element is really strong here.
Yes,
I mean,
it
weaves through the whole operation, right?
Yes, it does. And citizen science is people such as myself who don't have a science background participating in the research efforts that happen here. So this bird watching that I do every Thursday morning actually is considered citizen science, because after the walk we go back, we count the number of species and how many birds within each species, and then somebody files that in a national database, and that's used to track bird migration patterns and nesting patterns, etc. There's also bat monitoring that happens, snakes, butterflies, and probably a few others that I'm not remembering. And it's just plain old people under the guidance of the Urban Ecology Center staff.
Part of the uniqueness of the three Urban Ecology Centers mm-hmm. is that, first of all, each is unique, and secondly,
correct,
each of them follows a basic format of drawing in from schools within
correct
a two-mile radius.
Correct. Two and a half.
Is it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And there's a waiting list.
Yes, there is. Schools love to participate. And they have to buy in. I think it's a relatively modest amount. But, yeah, because the education staff here works with the teachers at the school to make sure that what the children are learning when they come here meshes with the science curriculum in the schools.
So what a resource.
Absolutely.
I mean, for schools that are stretched,
well,
beyond stretched.
Yes, and for the article about Ken Leinbach, the executive director, I interviewed three MPS teachers, all of them from low-income neighborhoods, and many of the children have not ever been in a park like this, and at first they're a little trepidatious, is that a word? And the staff here and their own teachers end up making them feel very comfortable, and one of the teachers said to me, "The last time we were in Riverside Park, one of my students said, 'Oh, it just feels so good to be outside.'" And she said, "You can't measure that. You can't quantify it, but it's very real."
That is one of the comments that stuck with me, just being out. And
yes,
and it does feel a little wild.
It does. It certainly does.
Well,
Riverside Park in particular. Washington Park, not so much. It's a little more manicured and Three Bridges. Yeah, that's a little more. But, yeah, Riverside Park for sure.
So 25 years ago, this area was a different kind of wild.
Yes, it was. It was a scary place to be. It was a neglected park. There were homeless people, drug addicts. Teenagers would come and have drinking parties and light fires to hang around. So when the programs began here, the staff would have to do what they called a park scan before kids came in, and they had to pick up needles and condoms and put out fires in the brush. Pretty scary. And you just wouldn't want to be here. It was a frightening place. One of the things that makes parks better is people in them. And so all the activity created by the Urban Ecology Center has brought people and their dogs and their kids to the parks.
The beginnings of the center was a trailer.
Correct.
And Ken Leinbach was hired.
He was.
We'll talk more about him, of course. But what I remember from your article is that as expansion was necessary, he was first thinking, well, we need an additional trailer.
Right. He was talking with Jane Pettit, and he said, "Could you fund an additional trailer?" And she started laughing at him. She said, "Ken, dream a little bit bigger." And so I forget what amount she kicked in, but to launch the first capital campaign, which led to the building of this very environmentally sensitive green building.
You've been involved here for a decade or so. What have you learned about the workings of the place that you may not have realized as you put this piece together?
What I've learned is that, and this is in large part due to Ken's leadership, is that everyone who's involved here is committed, whether it's a staff person, a volunteer, a program participant. There's a sense of buy-in that people have. It feels like our place. And also, I think Ken has done a good job of hiring staff that are good at what they do, and then he lets them do it.
So fundamentally, if you had to choose one word, one adjective to describe Ken Leinbach, could you come up with one?
Oh my goodness. Well, visionary is a little bit of a cliche, but I do think that, I mean, that doesn't describe his management style, but certainly he has had a vision for what could happen in this park and the other two parks, and he's been able to make that happen.
And there's been, in terms of buy-in, there's been financial buy-in.
Yes.
From lots of small gifts to very, very large.
Correct.
Involvement.
Yes.
That's amazing.
It is. Would that all nonprofits could be as successful as the center has been in fundraising.
So what do you think it is about Ken's style? Because it seems to me that kind of support takes that vision, mm-hmm. that mm-hmm. involvement from the top. What is about his magic that works, do you think?
Again, I think that comes from the top, that there's Ken's vision, and then all of the people who are working to make that vision happen, including the board of directors. Some of the people I interviewed for the article said, this is one of the hardest working and most committed boards of any nonprofit that they're aware of. Not a figurehead board at all. There are working subcommittees, and board meetings are not just rubber stamping what the executive director is interested in doing. It's board members reporting on what they've been able to make happen.
So how did this particular article come to life, Carolyn? Was this a story you wanted to tell, or did the magazine say, hey, do this for us?
No, I pitched the story. I'm a docent for the Milwaukee Rotary Centennial Arboretum. I wanted to get all those words in the right order. And I was leading a tour of some bank employees, I think it was U.S. Bank, who were here for a work day in the Arboretum. But they were starting off with a 45-minute tour so they could get oriented to the place. And so there were maybe 15 or 20 employees from the bank. And I said, well, how many of you have ever been here before? And a couple of hands went up. And I said, how many of you have ever heard about it? And only about a third of the people knew about the Urban Ecology Center. I said, this is not right. So I pitched the story to the magazine. And they were, they let me write it.
Natural Ken is the name of the title.
That was not my title.
Okay.
That's what the editors chose. And I chose to do it as a profile because I think people, as opposed to just kind of a historical piece about the center, because I think people are interested in people, and Ken is certainly an interesting guy. But in telling his story, I was also able to tell the story of the growth of the center.
So you described him as being humble.
I think he is humble. How can you be visionary and humble at the same time?
You can be confident, and you can be confident and humble.
Right,
I take
right.
it.
But to a person, what people said about Ken is he's willing to admit isn't the right word. He's willing to acknowledge when he doesn't know something, and he's willing to ask for help. And I think that also leads into the buy-in, why people feel like they can really make a difference here.
So have you observed classes and kids who are coming through with teachers or this summer camp that's going on?
I have. And the educators. I couldn't do it. I didn't like to babysit when I was younger. And I once had to volunteer at my daughter's daycare center. It was the longest afternoon of the week. But the educators here are talented. They love what they do. Some of them are clowns. They get real silly with the kids, and the kids eat it up.
So fundamentally, Carolyn, what do you see as the most important of what's going on here and of the Urban Ecology Center?
A couple of things. First of all, introducing children to nature. And there's a syndrome called nature deficit disorder, which is many children do not get outside. And even suburban children in affluent neighborhoods are on their devices. So and research has shown that two of the things that allow children to become environmentally aware and good stewards of the environment are, first of all, being in it, and then second of all, mentoring by an older person, an adult, or a teenager, who also respects the environment. It's developing that respect for the out-of-doors, I think, and in children and in adults, such as myself. It's not that I was disrespectful, of the out of doors and nature. I just hadn't been in it very much since Girl Scout camp.
So what did you learn about Ken Leinbach that you never knew before?
Well, one of the funny anecdotes in the story is that when he grew up in a camp in Michigan. His family ran a camp, and he was the youngest of five children. And he trained a chicken to sit on his shoulder, and he and the chicken rode Ken's bicycle. Every day he would have to ride down a mile and a half to the road to get the mail, and with the chicken on his shoulder. So unfortunately, he never got a photo of that. That would have been a great illustration.
So that may be folklore.
No, I believe it's true. But what I didn't know is what he calls if he's talking about it with religious people, he calls it an apocryphal moment. And if he's talking about it with other people, he calls it an oh shit moment, when he realized that the planet is threatened and that what could he, Ken, who at that point was an unemployed stay-at-home dad, what could he do about it? And just that moment and how he's been able to turn that into this, the Urban Ecology Center with three branches.
And have you, Carolyn, become an ACE bird identifier?
Oh, that is so, I wish I could say yes. No, and it's very humbling. I'm pretty good at what I choose to do, and I started this 11 years ago, and I thought within 6 months I'd be, you know, leading. Well, I just don't have the kind of mind that can see a bird once and stick it in a pigeonhole and say, oh, okay, pigeonhole, no pun intended. And then the next time I see it during spring migration, say, oh, that's a something warbler. No, but I just like being outside, and every year I try to learn a few more birds. One of the other things about this model is that it is being replicated in other places. Organizations and individuals are bringing in the senior staff here to consult with them about how they can create urban ecology centers all around the U.S. and in some international locations. And so that's an exciting concept.
Hard not to be impressed with that.
Yes.
Carolyn Cott Washburn's profile of Urban Ecology Center Director Ken Leinbach is in the July issue of Milwaukee Magazine. Washburn spoke with WUWM environmental reporter Susan Benz. Thank you.